Welcome to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
It is Monday Night Lights. Brad Allen here with you as we wrap up this solar eclipsed Monday evening. Plenty of things to get to today. Really, three big topics we're going to hit on today. And we're going to do it brought to you by Blue Bear Jewelry in East Dallas, the Erickson Family Insurance Agency of West Branch, Kevin Humrick House at Dean Arbor Chevrolet of East Dallas, and by Bogies Indoor Golf of Dallas City. And speaking of Bogies, we've got Paul Vayner of Bogies and, of course, of Dallas Golf. He's stopping in with us in just a few minutes, and we'll chat with him for a while about, I've got quite a few questions for him, to be honest, about his team and just about golf in general. We really are starting to enter golf season in Northeast Michigan. It's huge up here. A lot of people play golf. I figured, you know what? It's time to talk to them about just some simple things when it comes to golf. And I'm actually going to compare it to another sporting thing that hopefully I'll have time to talk about here in a couple of minutes. But really today, not a lot of high school stuff to get to besides Paul Vayner in about 10 minutes. Really, it's going to be talking about the Tigers national championship game today. And then I have one kind of big picture thing that I kind of want to hit on. So the Detroit Tigers are 6-3, and if you would have told me when the season started the Tigers would be 6-3, how would you feel about that, Brad? And I would say I feel fantastic about it, but that's not the case. That's not true. I don't feel great about this team being 6-3. They have played the White Sox and the Mets, the two worst offenses in baseball, and the Oakland Athletics, who took 2 out of 3 from them. And they're the biggest joke in sports, maybe of my lifetime. And the Tigers still are 6-3. Okay. But the offense has been held in their 9 games. 5 times this offense has been held to 1 run or fewer through 9 innings. 5 times. More often than not, you can write down that at the end of 9 innings, the Tigers will have 1 run or less. That's not just a bad start. When they play the Pirates today, by the way, the 8-2 Pirates, in about 37 minutes, it'll be their 10th game of the season. They will be 1/16th of the way through the year. That's not a huge amount, but it's also not nothing. 5 out of 9 games, 1 run or less through 9 innings. Now, they've had a very successful time in extra innings. They've been really good in extra innings. But they have struggled mightily. And why is that? Because this team, while albeit has bought into the Scott Harris style, when the new president of baseball ops, they've bought into his style of being more patient at the plate, drawing more walks doesn't equal more runs. Does it make it easier to score runs? Yes, it does. But drawing more walks is not what the Tigers need to do. Getting in leverage counts and taking advantage of leverage counts, I'm going to try to not be too technical here, is what the Tigers need to do. The best thing you can do as a hitter is to get yourself ahead in the count. 1 ball, no strikes, 2 balls, 1 strike, 3 balls, 1 strike, 3 balls, no strikes. All of those are hitters' counts. All of those are where you should see the best of the Tigers. But you just don't. You just don't see them get to that count and take advantage. Drawing more walks doesn't equal more runs because they're probably letting go. Watch the Tigers and watch how many times they let go a 2-1 breaking ball in the middle of the plate. How many times did they let that go? Watch how many times with the runner on third and less than 2 outs, where all they have to do is put the ball in play, do they let a pitch up in the zone go? Watch. Watch what they do, and you will be frustrated beyond belief of the Tigers not taking advantage of being in hitters' counts. They're drawing more walks. They absolutely are. They're also striking out more. Because they get themselves deep into counts, and they don't take advantage of it. And they're going back to the dugout. This team has a lack of power, a lack of discipline. They have a good, I guess, they wait, but I don't consider that great discipline. They're not, when I think discipline, I think controlled. They're not controlling the at-bats. They're just lucky enough to hit one or lucky enough to draw a walk because a pitcher's wild. The pitching's been great. Everybody but Kenta Maeda has been at least solid. Jack Flaherty wasn't great yesterday, but Kenta Maeda's had two bad starts. Everybody else has had at least one good one. Okay, great. But we haven't seen this offense do anything. And I don't know where they're going to get it from. They're not going to be getting a bunch of offense from anybody, really. Colt Keith might come on later in the year, but you can't expect that. He's a rookie. He's allowed to struggle. Riley Green's been good. I like what I'm seeing from Riley Green. But Parker Meadows has never had a profile through the minor leagues that said he's going to be a great hitter. Great defender. Why is he hitting at the top of the lineup? Never going to be a great hitter. Why is he hitting first? Torkelson, power hitters usually come on slow. They usually come on later on. Same thing maybe with Carey Carpenter. But where's the rest of the offense coming from? I don't trust it from, well, Andy Ibañez, who went on the IL today. They called up Wenzel Perez, who's known as more of a defender than a hitter. And Zach McKinstry, well, I love him, fire up chips. He's more of a defender than a hitter. Colt Keith's a baby. Matt Vierling, you don't expect anything great out of him. Mark Canna, who has been pretty good. There's not enough consistent offense. The catchers, you don't, anything you get out of a catcher, Jake Rogers, Carson Kelly, is gravy. You ask for them to play good defense and stay healthy. That's what you ask out of catchers. Anything they get out of them, fine. But you're only really expecting 5 out of the 9 guys to produce in this lineup when it should be 8 of the 9 guys, 7 of the 9 guys. It's fine to have a defensive specialist. But this team doesn't have a third baseman that can hit. Urshela is okay, but they don't have a third baseman that can hit. This offense isn't going to improve. And I didn't even mention Baez because that's pretty much a lost cause. Again, I love Javi Baez. I've mentioned on this show many times that he has been, he was my favorite player of the last 10 years, maybe outside when he was outside of Tigers. I love Javi Baez. I love his energy. I love his passion. I love his defense. I love his flair. All things that you don't see with him on the Tigers. He doesn't have swag on the Tigers. I loved his swag in Chicago and on the Mets. I loved it. That's why I loved him so much. I still root for Javi Baez. You will not hear me say anything terrible about Javi Baez. But right now, he's just a non-factor. You shouldn't even talk about him. He's a defensive specialist. And I really don't care about how much money they're spending on him. It really doesn't matter. The Ilitches have money. They're fine. I'm not worried about that. The pitching staff's been really good, though. Bullpen's been good. I trust Jason Foley with my life right now to be able to close out games in the back of games. I trust Shelby Miller to be really good, and I trust Tyler Holton to be really good. That's three guys at the back end of the bullpen who you really, really trust. So I'm really happy with that. I think that they are good to go in that situation. But the offense, I don't know where it's coming from. All right, so I wanted to get to one more thing here. I'm just going to do it quickly. I could go forever on this, but this is a more big picture story. One thing that you've been seeing a lot of is pitcher injuries being talked about a lot. The president of the Major League Baseball Players Association, former Tiger Tony Clark, came out and blamed the pitch clock for pitcher injuries. If that was the case, every player, really, from like the 1980s back, would have been hurt all the time. It's not the pitch clock. Because we're matching the pace of the pre-pitch clock era of the 1980s and before. That's the pace that the players are playing. It's not the pitch clock. That's a cheap cop-out. The reason players are getting hurt all the time is because they starting pitchers, who are the ones being hurt. If you look at Tommy John's surgeries of 2023, so there were 8 Tommy John surgeries in 2023, Sandy Alcantara starting pitcher, Connor Overton starting pitcher, Luis Garcia starting pitcher, Robbie Ray starting pitcher, Ian Anderson starting pitcher, JT Brubaker, swing guy, and then Lou Trevino reliever, Hunter Bishop an outfielder. 5 out of the 8 are starting pitchers. What does that tell me? That tells me that there is something specific to starting pitchers that's the problem. And we live in a world now where velocity is the number one thing. And I know what you're all going to expect me to say because I've been hearing about it on all of the national things if you pay attention to baseball. No, I'm not going to say they shouldn't throw as hard. I'm absolutely not going to say that because I don't think they shouldn't throw as hard. I don't think they should throw as hard for as long. The position I believe is the most overrated is starting pitcher. Why does a starting pitcher have to go six innings? It makes no sense to me. There's no reason for it. There's no reason a starting pitcher has to go six innings. None. It's a starting pitcher. They start the game. Why can't I tell, for the Tigers, Tarik Skubal to pitch three innings every 3 days? He'd be in more games, less wear and tear on his elbow, because he gets to rest in between. I want guys to throw as hard as they can for three innings every 3 days. What should go away is not the starting pitcher throwing hard. What should go away is a one-inning reliever. Those shouldn't exist. Everybody should be able to throw at least two innings, and I believe most people can. Everybody should be stretched out to throw at least two innings. Everybody. The one-inning reliever should be gone. And then you should be able to stack your teams with Tarik Skubal throwing three innings. Imagine the Tigers. They're going to play the Pirates in 30 minutes. They had Tarik Skubal throwing three innings, Reese Olsen throwing three innings, and then boom, 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 two relievers to finish out the game. Then tomorrow, they have Casey Mize go three innings. They have Jack Flaherty go three innings. Boom, boom, boom. However they want to finish out the game. Then the day after that, Kenta Maeda goes three innings. Matt Manning goes three innings. Whoever else you want in there, they'd have to, you know, swing around the pitching staff a little bit. Then the boom, that fourth day, Tarik Skubal back. You got 2 days off. And boom. You got guys throwing harder, three innings. You get, they're in more games. They're still going to get close to 150 innings. And they save their elbows. Because you know who doesn't get Tommy John surgery? Relievers. So why don't we just make guys more like relievers? The best way to get guys out is by throwing hard. That's the best way. It's so hard to hit a fastball. It's the best way to do it. So why are we all of a sudden deciding that that's not the right thing to do? And we're saying guys should go longer in games. Why? Who cares? The most overrated stat in the history of sports is the win and loss for a pitcher. Guys have lost games when they give up one run total. Guys have won games when they've given up 10. So it's the most overrated stat in sports. So who cares about the win and the loss for a pitcher? They should get rid of it. There's no other reason to really care about who's the starting pitcher. You could have your best pitcher pitching at the end of games. It makes way more sense. So much more sense. I don't care about pitcher injuries when it comes to the pitch clock or, oh, they shouldn't throw as hard. No, they should throw as hard. They should just do it less. It would make total sense. Alrighty, we're going to take a break. We come back. Paul Vayner, Topless Golf, joins us.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry too, plus red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
This edition of Monday Night Lights is proudly sponsored by the Erickson Family Agency of West Branch. As your local Farm Bureau agency, we are here to service all of your insurance needs. So if you're looking for farm, home, auto, commercial, life insurance, even retirement options, let us provide an individualized plan just for you. Come see me, Jeff Erickson, in downtown West Branch, or call 989-345-0230.
Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy model like Equinox, Colorado, Trailblazer, and more. If your lease is coming up in the next 8 months, contact Kevin today to pre-order one now to help ensure your perfect ride will be available when you need it. Kevin Hummerkaus is committed to getting you a great vehicle with confidence and peace of mind. Contact Kevin Hummerkaus for details by calling 492-1788. That's 492-1788. Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
The Dallas Area Sports Boosters are proud to support Dallas Area School Athletics. High school athletics builds confidence, builds teamwork, and helps all students both on the field of play and in the classroom. This week in Dallas Athletics. On Tuesday, varsity track travels to Whittemore Prescott at 4 p.m. Varsity soccer plays at Shepherd at 5 p.m. On Thursday, varsity soccer will host Ogemaw Heights at 5 p.m. On Friday, varsity track races at Standish Sterling at 3:30 p.m. Varsity baseball and softball host Miowa Sable at 4 p.m. On Saturday, varsity baseball and softball play at Oscoda at 11 a.m. JV baseball and softball will host Oscoda at 11 a.m. This message brought to you by Huron Community Bank, Janus Tire and Auto, Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena, Rig Land Surveying, Inc., Sand Lake Area Storage, Seymour Carpet and Furniture, Sunshine Realty Co., Inc., and the Village Chocolatier. For more information, visit the athletic calendar at Tawas.net.
Time now for the Medical Minute.
Good news! Elder Care of Michigan, including Tawas Manor on Newman Street in East Tawas, West Branch Manor in a peaceful wooded area on Gray Road, easily accessible from I-75, and Sherman Glen Manor Assisted Living, now with a 12-room facility located on Alabaster Road in National City, are accepting applications for senior assisted living. Sherman Glen has doubled in size and offers peaceful, comfortable living in a secluded private setting with home-like amenities and a caring staff. You or your family member will be surrounded by nature and offered home-cooked meals. All locations are licensed by the state of Michigan with 24-hour care by a fully trained staff, handicap accessibility, and medicine administration. Tawas Manor, West Branch Manor, and Sherman Glen Manor Assisted Living. Smaller homes, one big family.
The Iasco County Commission on Aging is hiring. Both paid and volunteer positions are available. Openings include paid and volunteer home-delivered meal driver positions. Background check and drug screening is required. The Iasco County Commission on Aging is an equal opportunity employer. Paid and volunteer home-delivered meal drivers are needed. So to apply, stop by the office on M65 just north of the Light and Hale or call 989-728-6484.
Welcome back to Monday Night Lights. Brad Adlin here with you on this solar eclipsed Monday. And as we make our way towards the evening, I'm sure many people were hoping today, as the sun was shining, to get out and play some golf today. And of course, golf season is here. And got to talk about that with Paul Vayner, the Tawas golf coach, both boys and girls. We've entered the boys' golf season. Coach, how are you, man?
Awesome. Thanks for having me in.
Of course. Anytime that I get that text from you saying, hey, can I come in and talk about my golf team? Absolutely. Because I say this about coaches all the time, that, you know, I tell all of them I've emailed pretty much every spring sports coach for this season and have said, if you guys want something to talk about, just let me know, and we can make it work. It can be pre-recorded. It can be we can make it happen live in studio like you are right now. We can just call, all that stuff. So, I always appreciate what you stop on by. So let's talk about your schedule, where you guys are at right now. Have we started playing golf yet?
So we actually had our first outdoor practice on Friday last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it goes back to what you talked about, I think, last week or the week before about, you know, spring sports and the weather.
Started again.
Yeah. Like, the first 4 weeks minus Friday, our first 4 weeks of practice were at bogeys. Four weeks of practice. That includes 3 weeks of potential events, which nobody in the state plays in.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's kind of tough to play in the snow.
Right, yeah. Usually the golf shoes don't have ice skates on them. Yeah.
So, fortunately, it looks like, knock on wood, the weather has made a turn for the okay. I'm not going to say for the better, but for the okay, because our schedule starts this week.
Wow. So we're right into playing golf. You've barely been able to play outside a little bit. What's the first few events of the schedule?
Yeah, so just as a nice way to ease in, we're doing a local nine-hole scramble down at Huron Breeze. Very nice of them to accommodate us. We're going to have just a few local teams, but still a pretty big event for a nine-hole match. We're going to have my varsity JV, Oscoda's varsity JV, Alcona's varsity JV, and Pinconning. So it's going to be like 45 kids for the nine-hole match. You know, we do a scramble, so it's fun for the kids, get some swinging, and then pretty much from that point on, we're we're into our the tough part of our schedule with that the timeline of the golf schedule. It has to be condensed because of the weather. So we have an entire season's worth of events in about 6 weeks. Yeah. So after this Wednesday, we start down in East Lansing at Hawk Hollow. It's a tremendous course next Monday. We're at Maple Leaf. Pinconning's hosting the following Friday. And then after that, we're at Warwick Hills, End of the Dream and the Nightmare. And we're already halfway done with the season at that point.
Exactly.
We're just getting in and getting going. But it's some really big events on the schedule. And I'm happy that I have to take a leap of faith, each year when I'm making the schedule, because a lot of this has to be done 6+ months ahead of time.
And, sure.
Hey, do we have the kids that are committed and can play enough to go to some of these big events? We have a reputation, Taos does, around the state as one of the better small schools in the state. So we're able to leverage that into going to quite a few of really good and exclusive events. So with that being said, we have to make sure that we can show up and score.
you gotta show up. You can't finish 30 strokes behind the next team up. That's for sure. You gotta be able to get out there and compete. But yeah, you talk about condensing that schedule. MHSAA, if you're listening, don't get me started on this again, but extend the spring sports season. Okay, let's push it into July 4th weekend. End the season. July 4th weekend. It would make much more sense. It'd be a party all over the place.
Right.
But you talk about you got to be able to get down there and score. So who are a couple of the guys on your team that you're like, they're going to get down there and absolutely. Score?
So we finished top four in the state last year, and we're bringing back a nice chunk of our players. Certainly a couple guys at the top were seniors who were important parts. Alex Games is one of the better golfers we've had in our program ever. He's playing at Ferris. But see, the thing is, when you have someone who is super elite, say Alex averaged par, that's maybe 5 or 6 strokes better than maybe where his replacement might be this year, or maybe even 8-10 strokes. But when you take all the other kids that are coming back and they're all a few strokes better, that compensates for it.
Yep.
So I would expect, even with someone like Alex gone, our score should be as good or better than last year.
The depth has increased.
And that's where it all comes in is, Oscoda, Alcona, they have some really good kids at the top of their programs, like we do. Some really solid kids. But the difference is, most of these small schools, you have a couple kids who are solid, but you're really struggling to put together the back end of varsity. For us, we have a top four that I would put up against a top four in almost anywhere in the state.
Wow.
We have Walker Hazen, who's a junior, is coming back. The kid's grown like a foot in the last year and a half. He's one of the kids that we have a junior class right now, which I would say is one of the best classes in Taos golf history. We have at least 3 kids right now who should be 80 or better for 18 holes.
Wow.
All in that class. And so starting with Walker went from a kid as a freshman hitting the ball 220. And scoring in the low 90s consistently, which is great for a kid like that age, that experience, to now I expect Walker to win a few tournaments this year.
Wow.
He's hitting the ball 290, 300 yards. Jeez. And what's crazy is we might have 1 or 2 kids that can outdrive him on the varsity team.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Austin Baker, he was a sophomore last year, also took a huge step up from his freshman year. Austin went from, as a freshman, shooting in the low 50s. Last year, consistently in the low 40s, took a huge step forward last year as a sophomore, shot 80-83 at states last year, and he's only gotten better, more consistent. He's always been a guy with a great driver, very consistent with his iron game. He's always been one of the shorter hitters on varsity, which they give him crap for, but he hits the ball 270 yards. So I guess he's not hitting the ball 300. He's hitting it farther than 95% of people who call themselves golfers.
Hitting it farther than I am.
Hitting it farther than I am. I used to pride myself, at least I'd be the number 2 golfer on my varsity team. But Alex, fine. I'll be the number 2. I might be at best the 5 on this team this year.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
And the kids are just putting in the work and they just keep improving. And after Austin, we have Rob Jenkins. Rob's a senior. He's been with me since my first year coaching as a freshman. Rob, I think, averaged 57 for 9 holes his first year when we had a pretty easy schedule. And Rob's been showing me he's hitting the ball 280, 290. And Rob's, along with the other guys, right up there with a chance to win invitationals this year, playing really well.
Man.
And the fourth guy is Trace. Trace is a junior this year. He went to states as a wrestler.
Yep.
I think he's maybe 140 pounds. He hits the ball 340 yards.
My gosh.
Yeah, consistently carries 305 to 310 yards.
So when it comes to this, this has actually been a topic in, not in golf, but in national sports recently of power versus skill sets. Big thing in as baseball season's gotten underway.
Oh, yeah.
All the pitchers are getting hurt right now because of velocity and attacking on their elbows. So, you mentioned that Trace Ray might be 140 pounds, but he can hit the ball over 300 yards.
Yeah.
How do you do that
while not hurting yourself. Because, you know, one thing about Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods always swung really hard, and he was fantastic at it. His body broke down.
Oh, of course.
You know, guys like Phil Mickelson could still hit the ball really hard all through my childhood.
For sure.
Body never really broke down quite as much. Arthritis got him. But there are guys who can do it. How do you stay healthy during this situation where you are a smaller player like Trace, right? Yeah, maybe you're not 6 foot two and 250, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
You know, how do you stay healthy?
So there's a lot of swing mechanics that we work on that it's really important to stay under control, because even like PGA pros, if you watch them swing, they don't look like they're swinging out of their shoes.
Right.
Most of them, besides Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's because they're not. I mean, that's why, like, oh, I, you know, average PGA tour guy only carries 305. I can do that. It's like, well, that's because you're swinging out of your shoes and you're inconsistent. That's their fairway finder swing. So that's a big thing with these kids. They want to hit the ball as far as they can. So that's a lot of what I have to do. It's like, hey, we have to, you know, look at the numbers and understand that 300 in the fairway, you know, makes you a top 1% golfer in the state. 320 in the woods is not going to work.
That doesn't help you.
So, and then there's, I mean, not to get into too many of the details of specifics with swing, but basically if you're overextending yourself, if you're swinging too far in your backswing, making you rotate your head, and you're swinging too far back in your backswing, and when you finish and follow through, you know, you have to kick your leg out so your knee doesn't shatter, which if you watch Bryson DeChambeau swing, he literally, and like any long drive guy, they literally have to kick their left leg out right about the time of contact. Otherwise, if they kept their left foot planted with golf shoes on, their ligaments in their knee would just shatter every swing.
Right.
Because how violent the swing is.
Yeah.
So it's more about these kids are able to do it. One, they're incredibly athletic. I mean, all these other kids are great athletes in other sports. So they're incredibly athletic. They have finely tuned their swings and the mechanics so that way they can get the most out of their swing. They don't look like they're swinging out of their shoes. Going back to the example, if they wanted to go back and get after it, they probably, well, Trace swings pretty hard, but that's Trace. But no, it's about being consistent, and it's about keeping the ball straight. So when you emphasize those things as opposed to, you know, Bryson DeChambeau swing speed training, I don't know if you've ever seen one of those sessions. He just like puts on a workout shirt and like dims the lights down and cranks some techno music, and he's just and he's just swinging as hard as he can.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's the equivalent of, you know, ultra, you know, elite Twitch sport, you know, fat athletes that are just, you know, doing exercises that normal people shouldn't even know that they can do because they'll just hurt themselves.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, because it seems that with all of these sports, more and more power is becoming the more and more thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm amazed to hear about high schoolers hitting the ball as far as they are.
Thing, especially when we're at bogeys and we have all these analytics. So it's a big thing the last 4 weeks when we're in here. The kids get so much out of it because we see things like club head speed. We see things like ball speed, and there's certain analytics for that. The average golfer, even though they don't only hit the ball maybe 210 yards, the average male golfer only hits the ball about 210 to 220.
Yeah.
But a lot of those guys are hitting 150 ball speed. And that's because it's only going 220 because there's certain mechanics in their form that are incorrect. Therefore, the energy that they're transferring into that ball is not going all for distance. It's going for spin. It's going for, you know, too low, so that way it doesn't maximize your distance and your carry. There's a lot of small things that, like if you hit the ball 150 miles an hour and everything's perfect, it goes 300 yards. 150 mile an hour ball speed is probably about average for a guy who hits the ball 215. Just with poor mechanics. So because we're able to take everything out of their swing and maximize it, and they've become students of the game, the conversations when I was coaching my first year, and most of the kids were freshmen, had nothing to do with golf. We're in the van having a good time with music on that I don't understand or
right.
I don't know.
Or don't want to know.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's more like, man, I felt like I got a couple degrees too far inside on that. I think that's why. Why do you think that ball went to the left? I mean, a little off the toe. It fell a little toy, but honestly, I think it came a little inside on that one.
Yeah.
Caught a hair high on the club face. Yeah, the launch angle was a couple degrees too steep. So when you start talking, you know, they understand the science behind this, they're able to tweak these fine points. Because when the way they used to do it back in the day, they just hit a million golf balls out on the range. Like, oh, I don't know if I do this a little bit, this is what happens to the ball. Where now we can cut through all that with the data inside and say, hey, you know, if you hit up on the ball, so this number here, it's the tack angle. It's, you know, 95% of amateurs hit down on the ball, even with their driver. Every single PGA Tour player hits up on the driver.
Yeah.
So basically there's a loft that maximizes the distance the ball can go. Not to get into the weeds too much, but just the idea that, hey, if you hit up on the ball will go further because it decreases backspin and it increases the launch angle to where it would. The idea is that if I were to take a baseball and throw it as hard as I could, parallel to the ground. It's going to go straight and drop down. Well, I say a cannon, so it goes even faster and farther. If I aim it at a certain angle, it's going to go into space.
Yeah.
If I angle it perfectly parallel, it's going to go down and drop. So obviously there's an angle there that is optimal for maximizing golf ball distance, which happens to be about 15 degrees for most people. Some people it's a little bit lower, some people it's a little higher, but about 15. So most people hit the ball really hard, like guys who are big, strong athletes, just not golfers, hit the ball, and the ball goes 150 miles an hour, only goes 200 yards because the average launch angle is about 9 degrees.
Gotcha.
So, man. So having these analytics and these kids understanding that,
yeah,
they're smart kids, they're athletic kids, they're able to manipulate their bodies into positions that average people can't. So on top of their effort, their work ethic and their athleticism, it's just yielding these kids who are crushing the ball. And don't get me wrong, the technology today is a little different than even when I was a kid, let alone 30, 40 years ago. You know, oh, I'm going to get this Sim 2 Max. Oh, that goes 340 yards or the new AI smoke or something. Just I'm in the business and I have a hard time keeping up with all the new technology, but
right. And how much is technology, you know, for an average golfer, right? You know, we're kind of getting away from your team here. I'm sorry, this conversation is leading us somewhere, but you know, how much does the technology in the club actually matter for, you know, someone like me, a guy who's broken 100 once in my life and you know, still very proud of that day.
That guy who's I got to get you to bogeys, man. You tell me you hit the ball 260 yards. And you I hit the ball 225 and I average in the mid 80s.
Okay.
It's because of short game.
Oh, no, it's short game. 100%. I can't putt anything, okay? You know, there's no gimmies with me. I don't play gimmies because nothing is. But how much does the club matter when you're actually getting into something like this?
So different clubs, the technology has advanced at different rates.
Yeah.
So, like something like a wedge, if I were to get a 30-year-old, like the original Vokey wedge, the SM1 is would be called now, came out in 2005. If you were to blindfold someone or cover up the brandings on it, you wouldn't be able to tell between that and a $190, $200 wedge nowadays. However, like the driver, you take a TaylorMade burner that was the pinnacle of this sport in the late 90s, and you put that down on the ground right now, the kids laugh, like, what is this? Why does the 5-wood have a 1 on it? So not only the size, but the big thing with drivers, the technology is the forgiveness. So while it's certainly always the Indian, not the arrow, that makes bad shots, what technology can do is understanding where the average golfer has a miss, what type of miss they have. So like, for instance, 90% of amateur golfers hit down on the ball. 90% of amateur golfers have an outside in swing path, meaning that they hit a slice. Why is it that sometimes when I have a slice, the ball can go 2 miles dead straight to the left? The technology, now that I've learned, there's a very specific reason for that. And that shot that just launched down the third baseline for a home run in left field can be replicated to go straight. You have to understand why that is.
Gotcha.
But just so back to the technology, like knowing that those are things that people do, the club manufacturers have calibrated their technology to maximize what the ball can do when those miss hits are done. So while yes, you could get better and you could do anything you wanted with old clubs, you know, great golfers, you know, I give Alex a permission wood or something from the 50s, he'll still stripe it.
Yeah.
But for the average amateur with those average misses, you know, the newer clubs are much more forgiving. You go off the toe with a new club and you can hardly tell that you missed, where you go off the toe with a 20-year-old driver and the ball's going 60 yards.
Gotcha.
So that's the big thing. It's more about forgiveness and also being appropriately fitted to what your miss is. So that's, you know, that's what fittings are for, is, you know, they're not there to judge you or tell you're bad at golf. They're there to give you the right club so you're less bad at golf.
So, yeah, they can give you the best chance. You know, it's like, yeah, you're bad, but this is giving you the best chance to get better.
I'll give you a great example. So we had a Mizuno fitting at Bowie's on Sunday. Yep. So it was great. We were stacked up. People came in, sold a bunch of Mizuno clubs. And so, like, for instance, I have a regular who comes in and he's always off the toe. And that's cool, because at Bowie's we also have, there's cameras that show every shot that you hit. It shows you a picture at impact and a slow motion video of the club coming through and hitting the ball every single time. So now they know he's hitting off the toe 95% of the time. So it's, I mean, like, yeah, so obviously a more forgiving club would help. Well, if there's like, all of a sudden, like, he's like, here, try this one. And the dude just starts striping it. It's like, wow, that sounds and feels different. It's like, yeah, I added a half an inch to the shaft length. So now the shaft is longer, and now your ball strike is much closer to the center.
Gotcha.
But so just small things like that, where, you know, as long as you're consistent, it's easy to work with. When you're brand new, and it's like, oh, I hit off the toe, what do I do? It's like, well, you hit off the heel last shot. So we're not changing anything.
So I don't know.
Yeah, but once you've played enough, you know, you get fairly consistent, and people start to know where their misses are, and that's, you know, how you're able to kind of calibrate your game. And it's a big part of actually what I work with the kids is, you know, they can make every shot. It's being smart enough to make what shot. Where do you miss? Everybody has a miss. Tiger Woods has a miss. Prime Tiger Woods 2001 had a miss.
Yeah.
So when we're managing the course, we're trying to understand, all right, so if my miss, I'm always short right. All right, well, that means if I'm going to do a green and there's water short right, I'm aiming for the back left of the green. Because if I go long and left, that's a better miss than short and right.
Mm-hmm. So let's get back to your team a little bit then here and talk about, you know, now all of this that we've just spent 7-8 minutes on and bring it back to your team just a little bit in your coaching and for this year, especially guys who have been in your program for a few years. Like you mentioned Robert Jenkins, he said came in as a freshman, now coming, you know, now he's a senior who's going to get out there and compete. So he's played, you play a relatively consistent schedule where some of these guys have now are going to play a course that might not even be local, but especially your home course,
for sure.
They've played in the tens of times now.
Absolutely.
You know, so now when you're having conversations with them, getting ready for a tournament, when you're coaching, is it a little bit less about, okay, well, here's what you need to do with the club versus, okay, when, you know, you're on that downhill par three.
If I catch you guys using a driver on the fourth hole at Red Hawk, I'm going to bench you.
Exactly.
And then Trace is like, but what if I can hit my 3-wood to the green?
Yeah.
Well, I guess not a driver. You found a loophole there.
You found a loophole. But, so it's that type of conversation. So
that's where it really depends on where they're at in their development. So like, we have some really good JV kids this year. I don't even want to call them JV because everyone can compete for varsity. But the kids that are new to the program, that are new golfers, you know, those conversations are more like, all right, here's some techniques on how we get out of the sand trap. Here's how we chip. Here's how we it's more about, you know, teaching the basic fundamentals where, you know, when you're with the other guys, we're talking about course management. Like, all right, so what are you hitting off the tee on a 300 yard par four that has a lot of trouble? Are you hitting your 4-iron? Why aren't you hitting your 4-iron?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And even with trying to manage their scores, like, you can't get too high, you can't get too low. So like, you can't let bogeys ruin, like, if you're someone who's trying to shoot 85, bogeys are not the enemy. You know, it's double and triple bogeys, triple especially. So if you're playing in a way that, like, all right, you had a bad shot, you're in the woods, you need to punch out. If you punch out, take your medicine, you have a shot at par. Worst case, if you keep your cool, you're going to get a bogey.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with bogeys.
I always tell my wife when we play, because she gets frustrated, things like that, and my line to her is, don't shoot an 8 trying to avoid a 6.
100%.
I'm like, I always tell her, that's my line for every time, is don't shoot an 8 trying to avoid a 6, okay? Like, it's okay. Just go out there.
Especially for beginner golfers, like double bogey golf at most courses is 108.
Yeah.
They're right in there, 110. Yeah, like somewhere in there. Right?
Sure.
Every course is different. It's right in that, you know, that ballpark.
Right there.
You know, so it'd be, 36, 108. 36 plus 72, the average course, 108. Mm-hmm. 108's not a bad score for a vast majority of people. And even a lot of the kids on my team that are brand new, 108's a target for sure. Like, maybe we don't want to go worse than that, but that's a target, meaning if you never get worse than double bogey, you can't shoot worse than a 108.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're at the tee box and I only have to double bogey this hole and it's an okay hole, it's a different mentality. It's a different mindset. Especially if, you know, if you're putting the time in on the green, you're confident with a 2-putt. Now you're really wide. Say, hey, as long as I don't hit this into the woods, man, I could go 7-iron, 7-iron, 7-iron into this and 2-putt for bogey. No problem.
Right. If your mentality walking into a par 3 is it's a par 5.
Yeah.
It completely changes what
for
you're
sure.
doing.
You don't have to go for things. And
yeah.
So that's a big part of what the coaching comes in. It's you know, and if you've ever played pool, it's a big, like, oh, I could make this quadruple bank shot and kick this in there. It's like, dude, yeah, you could if you were good.
Yeah.
But you're not.
Right.
So you're just wasting your time and making it worse. You know what? Yeah, everyone could birdie every hole for sure. Dave Portnoy from Barstool, I think he did a thing where, like, I'm gonna, you know, he like did a unlimited mulligan challenge at the US Open site a few years ago. He was like, yeah, dude, I could, you know, shoot that 62 or whatever with unlimited mulligans. Like, even him was like a 12 handicapper, but it's like, yeah, sure, if everything was perfect forever, but that's not
perfect.
How golf works, not how anything works.
No, not at all. One big event coming up on your schedule that we talked about last time you were here, and I think it's so awesome, is you have a bit of a Ryder Cup-style rivalry coming with Oscoda. I want people to know about that because you want the community to come
There's
out to all of your events.
That want to come out,
but
yeah,
you this really, this one is, it's big time. I mean, it's Oscoda Tawas. It's a rivalry. It's going to be a fun event. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so it's the Huron Cup. You know, as an ode to where our cities are located in our past. So we are actually in the process of getting a very cool custom trophy made up to be a traveling trophy with a nice blue and red glass wave, hand-blown glass wave sculpture on top of it. And we're going to be able to engrave the score each year as the trophy hope it doesn't pass back and forth too much. I'm hoping it just stays in Taos. That's the hope. I'm pretty calm the next couple of years, but after that, you never know. We had to roll the dice a little bit. So it's a super cool event, the Huron Cup. So traditionally, a Ryder Cup is three 18-hole events. Those 18-hole events, it's a team event. It's usually 24. We're sticking with 12 because that's the numbers that we have. There's a point system for each of the three 18-hole events. It is a best ball, meaning your two players play together and your team scores whatever kid on your team had the best score. And then it is a best ball, alternate shot. So alternate shot means you have a two-person team. One person hits, then the other one hits. It's back and forth. It's not a scramble. And then the last one is straight match play. 1v1, the two versus the two, the three versus the three. So instead of doing, what would that be, 36, 54 holes, we're going to squish it down to 18. So instead of 18-hole events, there's 6-hole events for everybody except the ones and the twos. So the two best players on Taos and the two best players in Oscoda are, instead of doing it over 18 holes, we'll be doing it over 27 holes. So that means at 18 holes, the entire field is done except for the ones and twos. And the ones and twos will still have 9 holes left, still have the match play left, the 1v1 and the two versus the two. So we're start first thing in the morning, we normally do. We'll probably be done around 3 o'clock. So in the last 9 holes at 4 p.m., we're inviting the community, the entire golf team will be there because they're all done, the coaches, the administration. How many times have you, RAD and superintendent are at everything. I give them all the credit in the world. You see them at every football game, every basketball game, every volleyball game, every wrestling meet. So now here's the opportunity. They actually have something to come to.
Right.
So, we're hoping that everyone comes out to this and is going to walk the 9 holes with the team. Wow. So, we're all going to... The coolest experience I've probably had as a coach last year at regionals at Red Hawk, Alex was in a playoff to win the regional title. There were 150, 160 people watching him and a kid from Traverse City, St. Francis play 18 at Red Hawk. They're just lying down the fairways when they're approaching the green. It was 20 people deep all the way around the green. It was an incredible experience.
Sure.
And it's something that, these kids work unbelievably hard. They're extremely talented. Some of the best athletes in Taos are, my top four are as good at golf as any other athlete is in the school at any sport.
Yeah, I'm sure the baseball and track coach love you.
Yeah. sorry about that.
Yeah.
But just with that being said, these kids don't get showcased they deserve. The talent ever that they put in, it's not like it's anybody's fault. It's just a sport by the nature. Even the hockey team struggles with that a bit because it's not on campus. It's not, the wrestling program, once a year, once every other year, they'll actually have a rivalry event against Oscoda, so we have a league match where it's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and the entire school's there.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that you can do. You can't do that at golf. And not only are we, off campus, but also it's not like you can really, it's not a great spectator sport unless you have a TV crew out there.
Right. Yeah.
So
moving around is tough.
Being able to do something like this where instead of just sitting at 18 and watching people hit into one green, there's two kids, the best kids on our program, the two best kids in their program are going to be featured. And people can walk around and see how good these guys actually are at this sport.
Yeah, and judging by what you've told me, it's going to be pretty good golf. That's the thing. Because Oscoda's a brand new program, mentioned that their absolutely top line is going to be right
and
there.
And that was the idea behind structuring it this way. We want to get the community more involved. We want to allow these kids, and I'll tell you the other part that's really big into this. The best part of watching Ryder Cup golf is watching that all the guys on the Ryder Cup are watching their teammates.
Right.
And they're into it. They're going nuts. It's the time of their life. If you talk to any of those guys, if you see any of the interviews of those guys on the Ryder Cups, it's the best event of their career.
Right.
And that's a big thing that a lot of people don't understand is all of our events, our kids never play together. They're playing with kids from other teams.
Yeah.
So at the Ryder Cup, not only are you at our Huron Cup, our Ryder Cup style event, not only are they doing their 18 holes with a partner, then at the end, when we're watching the ones and twos, the whole team is following and cheering for every shot.
Yeah, exactly. It should be a pretty raucous environment. That's going to be pretty great.
Honestly, I'm thinking that the coach's primary goal is not going to be to coach and make people quiet.
It's going to be standing with the arms up.
Right.
Standing with the arms.
It's going to be a lot more like Happy Gilmore with streamers.
We have to get you guys the paddle so you can be pointing which way the ball is going. Hopefully a lot of straight. Hopefully a lot of straight down the fairway.
Yeah.
When we'll talk obviously more towards the end of the season, when do things start to ramp up when it comes to the postseason and, when does
in
that
golf,
come?
There's no districts. There's a regional tournament and then there's state finals and that's it. Everyone goes to regionals. There's 24 teams.
Okay.
Top 3 teams go to states. That's gotcha. It. So yeah, we're actually, oh, man, we got to travel. We're going all the way down to Verona Hills. I had to Google that. I feel like I know most courses in the state, but yeah. I didn't hear of this one. It is east of Bad Axe. We have a two-hour.
East of Bad Axe?
East of Bad Axe.
In other words, things east of Bad Axe.
Bad Axe okay. in the middle of Thumb. This is out towards.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is down. It's out towards.
Yeah, it's also.
Out towards.
It's Bad Axe's Lexington. Home course.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 2 hours and 30 minutes for us, like 245, 250 for Oscoda. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun, but.
Fun van ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, long van ride.
Look, that's what, end of next month?
Yeah. So, that, so regionals is the week after Memorial Day.
Okay.
So yeah, the last week of May, and then the state finals is the following Friday, Saturday, and this year the states is out of Khaki and Big Rapids, which our kids are familiar with because we go out there to. There's a pretty exclusive tournament that we were fortunate to be one of the, I think, eight Division III teams that were invited out to it this year. Khaki is an elite course. They host the state finals almost every year, if not they host the regional finals. Great program. The Big Rapids is just a machine out there. The probably the best public school program in the state. But we were invited out there just because it was the D3 state finals this year, so they invited us to make sure that the top teams in D3 had a chance to play it ahead of time. We've been invited the last few years, so that's a really cool 36 hole tournament we go to each year where it's our overnight. We go out there and play on Friday, hang out for 5 hours at the putting green and the driving range, which to these kids is fun. That's probably the most fun you can have. We're going to just hang out at a putting green and a driving range, and then you have another 18 hole event that Saturday, then we come back. So it's cool. We're going to get to do that probably 2 weeks before the state finals. So high expectations this year.
Well, great. So, yeah, we look
the top
forward to
four
it.
And then our next two, three guys, Noah Thieker's a senior, went from a kid that I was surprised wanted to play golf to a kid who's going to be shooting in the 90s this year as a senior. And then Adam Billinghurst, he's been, his trajectory has been incredible. He came into Bowie's last year as a freshman, hitting 130 yard drivers, or drivers in 130 yard par threes. And this year he's out around 250, 260, and he's going to break 100 too. So,
wow.
Yeah, a lot of the kids who, honestly, that's if kids come to me with a desire to get better at golf, we turn them into golfers.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. Just because Bogies is a sponsor of this show, what's going on at Bogies? Anything that you hit on? You had the Mizuno fittings last week?
Probably about this week, next week, it's kind of our Super Bowl here. The Masters is this Sunday.
Yeah.
So we're having a big fundraiser scramble for the boys' golf team. So if you come in, $10 ahead, it goes into a pot. And first place gets half that pot in cash winnings. The other half goes to the golf team.
Great.
And then I'm also giving away a ton of Bogies gift cards. So first, second, third place. And we also do a second to last. I did last place one time. We tried to pay out just to incentivize even bad golfers to do it. And then all of a sudden people started tanking. So we're doing second to last. Can't be the worst because at least people have to come. Once they're like, yeah, man, we're like six over through five holes. Like, dude, let's just tank. Let's tee off with putters and just it turns into bad news.
Yeah, then it's not fun.
No,
yeah.
But it's been. It's been a great reception. Just, you know, it's the Masters. And if you're anywhere around golf, you don't want to appreciate, like, this is the Super Bowl of golf. And it just coincides with the very end of indoor golf season. So it kind of had this ramp up for the last few months. We get busier and busier and busier and busier. And, so I'd recommend anyone out there who wants to come and try it, call now to try to get a spot in over the next few days because we're going to be filling up quick.
Gotcha.
But yeah, 2 hours tops for two people to come and do a two-hour scramble, play 18 holes at Augusta. So I don't unless you're... I know I'm never going to be able to get down there and play at Augusta. This is the next best thing.
It's the closest thing that anybody's going to get to it.
Yeah.
I had the chance to go to the tournament last year, and it's an amazing place to be. So, I mean, it's amazing.
I'm still upset with you about that. I've seriously considered going back and getting my PGA cert just so I can go to it. To the Masters.
Just so you can get the ticket.
I didn't know. I got a buddy of mine who's his wife's a pro, and she recently took a job down in Savannah, Georgia, I think. And she's like, oh, yeah, I just drove up to the Masters, you know, that Wednesday, and I just drove up there and walked in. What? She's like, oh, yeah, you're PGA. You can go. I'm like, what? I'm about to go back to school for a year so I can go to the Masters.
Just so you can go. It's right. Great. But people can go. They can call ahead to sign up there at Bogies. What's your guys' number at Bogies?
So it's 989-305-6212. You can also go on our website, bogeystowels.com. And for those of you who are listening to the northern reachers of this fine station, we're doing an Alpina as well. So up in Bogies Alpina, we're pulling everything together. So the money that gets donated to my facility goes to my team. The guy who runs the Bogies Alpina is the Alcona coach, Dustin.
Mm-hmm. Dustin Yoakam,
So the money's going to his team. So it's a cool fundraiser. It's a great way for people to come in and have a good time. Play the Masters. If you're a golfer and you've watched the Masters 100 times, like... Dude, it's the coolest thing ever to see it on a screen.
Yeah. That's absolutely great. And well, Paul, I appreciate you taking well over 30 minutes now.
I hope
this was as interesting to the listeners as it was to me.
We're going to have to break this up in segments or something.
I would want to just have this. I could talk to you for 2 hours just about golf and about helping people out.
We're going to start a golf podcast.
We're going to have to, because this is just, I'm absolutely loving every single thing that's done. But we got a half hour. I got other stuff I have to get to. Yeah. There's a national championship game tonight. Yeah, I guess I should talk about that a little bit.
Tigers pitching's been doing pretty well.
Pitching's good. They've been held to one runner the last five times out of their nine games. Okay, through nine innings. They've gone off in extra innings. Tell them it's a 10th inning every time. And they're pretty good. Paul Vayner, Taos Golf Coach. They have their first event coming up on Wednesday. And again, check out that Huron Cup that's coming May 13th,
Monday,
May 13th. That's going to be freaking great.
You can always call bogeys too, guys. If any of this Taos Golf stuff interests you, you want to buy Taos Golf gear, anything like that, dude, just give us a call. Shoot us an email. Message drop in. It's either me or someone who's closely associated with the program, always working at Bogeys. You know, that's why we do what we do at Bogeys.
It's so, golf, so I'm sure it's a dumb question. But you guys have hats?
Oh, yeah.
I got to get a hat. I got to get myself a hat. All right. I need all of the golf programs for me. I got to get a half mirror. I got to call Dean Caldwell, Dustin Yoakam. I got to get everybody.
Absolutely.
Get myself a hat. Paul Vayner, thank you very much, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
This edition of Monday Night Lights is proudly sponsored by the Erickson Family Agency of West Branch. As your local Farm Bureau agency, we are here to service all of your insurance needs. So if you're looking for farm, home, auto, commercial, life insurance, even retirement options, let us provide an individualized plan just for you. Come see me, Jeff Erickson, in downtown West Branch, or call 989-345-0230.
Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy model, like Equinox, Colorado, Trailblazer, and more. If your lease is coming up in the next 8 months, contact Kevin today to pre-order one now to help ensure your perfect ride will be available when you need it. Kevin Hummerkaus is committed to getting you a great vehicle with confidence and peace of mind. Contact Kevin Hummerkaus for details by calling 492-1788. That's 492-1788. Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Shop Neiman's Family Market on US 23 in Tawas City. We're fighting to keep prices lower. Check out the hundreds of price reductions throughout the store and shop Neiman's this week for these great specials.
Shopping Neiman's saves you time and money. Hi, this is Ray from Neiman's Family Market. Save on Neiman's store-made sausage or brats. Sorted varieties, $4.99 a pound. From our bakery, for dessert, 8-inch blackberry or peach pies, $8.99 each. And Aunt Millie's hamburger or hot dog buns, 2 for $6.
Find these and more great savings at Neiman's Family Market, US 23, Tawas City.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Minimum purchase required. Interest accrues from date of purchase, but is waived if paid within promotional period. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Attention homeowners. Do you know when to replace your windows? Feeling too hot or cold? Fog between the glass? Spending too much on expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's time to replace. And right now you can get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. Plus, with our spring savings event, you can buy one window or door and get one 40% off when you buy four or more units. Just text OWN to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality affordable windows or patio doors for no dollars down, no monthly payments, and no interest for a year. That's right, you don't pay a dime for an entire year. Text OWN to 200-300 to buy one window or door and get one 40% off. And right now, save an extra $30 off every unit. Hurry, this incredible offer is only in April. Text OWN to 200-300. Text the word OWN to 200-300. OWN to 200-300.
I went a little long there with Paul, didn't I? Okay, so I have a couple of other things I have to get to here before we wrap it up. And so let's start by talking about tonight's national championship game. It's UConn versus Purdue. I'll be rooting for Purdue tonight, but UConn has a chance to do something pretty special. So if you can stay up till 9:20 to watch the game, UConn has a chance to be not only the first repeat champion since the 2006 and 2007 Florida Gators, but also only the ninth different school, eighth different school all time to be a repeat champion, joining Oklahoma, A&M College, Kentucky, San Francisco University, Cincinnati, UCLA, who of course went on a run in the 60s, Duke, and then of course Florida. So big chance for UConn. I'll take UConn to win the game. I do think that they end up winning by about 10 points by the end of the game. They'll slow down Zach Edey towards the end. Zach Edey, hot start. Then I think he falls off. But I do think UConn wins the game. I will be rooting for Purdue, though. One more thing to get to, one more break to get to right after this.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Bogey's Indoor Golf of Tawa City offers a premium year-round golf experience featuring the industry's most accurate golf simulators. Choose from hundreds of local and famous courses. Bogey's now has a full bar stocked with beer, wine, and liquor, so they have you covered for a fun night out. Bogey's Indoor Golf at the south end of Tawa City on US 23. Check them out online at bogeystawas.com. That's bogeystawas.com to schedule your tee time today.
Did you know 57% of parents regret not talking to their kids about money growing up? At Alpena Alcona Area Credit Union, we want to help with those conversations. April is Youth Month, and what better time to start saving for your child's future? Stop by any of our 10 office locations to learn more about our youth savings program and to open an account for that special young person in your life. We are federally insured by the NCUA. Are you looking for a new financial partner? At Alpena Alcona Area Credit Union, we make switching accounts as easy as flipping a switch with Click Switch. Move your direct deposits and automatic payments with ease. Why not post your direct deposit up to 2 days early for free? Once you see your pending deposit, simply click a button and your funds will automatically be deposited. You can get paid up to 2 days early. Visit our website at aaacu.com to learn more. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Time now for the Medical Minute.
Good news! Elder Care of Michigan, including Tawas Manor on Newman Street in East Tawas, West Branch Manor in a peaceful wooded area on Gray Road, easily accessible from I-75, and Sherman Glen Manor Assisted Living, now with a 12-room facility located on Alabaster Road in National City, are accepting applications for senior assisted living. Sherman Glen has doubled in size and offers peaceful, comfortable living in a secluded private setting with home-like amenities and a caring staff. You or your family member will be surrounded by nature and offered home-cooked meals. All locations are licensed by the state of Michigan with 24-hour care by a fully trained staff, handicap accessibility, and medicine administration. Tawas Manor, West Branch Manor, and Sherman Glen Manor Assisted Living. Smaller homes, one big family.
Let's wrap up Monday Night Lights. It is a Masters week, and so while you're also participating in that Bogey's Indoor Golf Masters scramble, you can also pick along in who you think's going to win. This is one of the least excited I've been for the Masters. I think it's the least excited I've been for golf in a while, just because the sport is so broken up. I just have not been as excited in previous years. I will take Scottie Scheffler to win. It's boring to pick the favorite. I do think that he's the guy who I'm not going to put any money on it, but I think who I would put money on, he's the one I would feel absolutely best about to actually win this tournament. He's never finished outside of the top 20. But some other guys who I think are right there. I mean, John Rahm is always a guy who you pay attention to. But Xander Schauffele has played really well recently. And then if you want a little bit more long shot, guys, if you are going to throw some money around on this, I really like Victor Hovland. He's 30-1. I think Victor Hovland's a guy who he's played well there last year. I could see him playing really well again. Tommy Fleetwood is 50-1. I think he's the guy to pay attention to. Ricky Fowler's 120-1. I like Ricky, so I think that he has a chance. But I'll take Scheffler. My second pick would be Victor Hovland. I like the way that he played there last year. That has been Monday Night Lights. I'll talk to you guys back in the country sense of things tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen. Tune in every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.